Yikach Ish'isho Vala.
And this for Chazal is the makor for both the seifa of the pasuk, and that is Gerushin, but as well as Kedushin itself. Now, I'd like to analyze the mitzvah of Kedushin dafka from the psukim. The parshas Kisei dafka to analyze them from the psukim, the way Chazal understood the psukim, but particularly to take a look at the psukim. First of all, the lashon ki yikach ish isha uvoala. So, what exactly do those words mean? The Rambam has an interesting opinion. The Rambam writes, the question is how to interpret the Rambam, but the Rambam says that kesef is midivrei sofer. Kinyan of kesef, the Gemara learns on that Beis Amud Aleph, kicha kicha mistei Ephraim. And we learn from that pasuk that just like the kicha that was described by the kinyan of Avraham Avinu from Ephron was done with kesef, so too when it says kicha teshisha here, it also is supposed to be done with kesef. And the Rambam describes that kinyan of kesef that we learn from the drasha, that gzeira shava, the Rambam calls that midivrei sofrim. So most understand that when the Rambam uses the expression divrei sofrim, the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, in Ishus, so that most understand that what the Rambam is describing over there is a din that's described as divrei sofrim, but not a din derabbanan, but a din d'oraisa. But what I want to show you is there are some fascinating shitas that we don't paskin like. Start off with a couple of fascinating shitas and see that those shitas might even have sources in the psukim themselves. The Ahagos Maimini Constantina. If you look in the back of the Franco Rambam, there's the edition, the Constantine edition of the Ahagos Maimini. So there, they say that the Rambam is of the opinion that Kesef is the Rabbanan if it's not followed by Bia. Because the Torah says, Ki Yikach Ish Isha Uvoala. So the Torah is emphasizing the Bia as well, because they're really Kesef by itself is a drasha. But if you're going to fulfill the pasuk literally, so then in such a case, then the Kesef by itself is only Midirei Sofrim, the radical way of understanding it, that Divrei Sofrim is only the Rabbanim. And Kika Cheshisha is Dafka Uvo'ala. If you do both, so then in such a case, then it's going to be Doraisa. So here's one example. You could, in the psukim themselves, you could have the following chakira, and that is whether kiyikach ish isha, which we know that kiyikach means some type of kedushin, whether that kiyikach ish isha means the kinyan of kesef, and then just memela there is uvala, it's a matir for a husband-wife relationship, or kiyikach ish isha uvala, that the uvala is a part of the Maisa Kinyan itself. Another fascinating shita, and that is Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that has at least a hava mina that when the Mishnah says that Isha Miknis B'Shalosh Terachim Mikesef B'Shtar V'Biyah, the Yerushalmi understands that that means that you need all three: Kesef, Shtar, and Biyah. It doesn't mean one or the other. So according to the Yerushalmi, what emerges is could very well be that it's just taking all the psukim together. What does that mean? Ki yikach, we learned in Gzeir Shav Kicha Kicha, that's kesef. Uvala is bia. And then there's a separate hekish of Yatza V'Hoysa, Makish Havayu L'Yitzia. Just like the Gemara has different sources in the beginning of Kedushin, but just like the Yitzia, there's a concept of Gerushin, so too the Havaya. So that would mean again that Uva'ala is not simply a result of Kiyikach Ish Isha, but is a chelek of the Maisa Kedushin. Rav Gusman adds, and here we catapult ourselves to getting into the Yesodos of what Kedushin is, and what I'm going to focus Be'ezer Hashem a lot tonight on is what's the difference between the Chalos in Machshava, as well as in Halacha, of an Eishes Ish by a Gentile versus the Chalos of Eishes Ish by a Jew. Rav Guzman adds that this Yerushalmi that's suggesting these three possibilities and will teach us that ki katesh isha uvala means that that's all part, the uvala is also part of the kinyan itself. So Rav Guzman points out that there are really three parts to kedushin. Three parts to kedushin. Says kedushin is three things. Number one, Chazal were taught us through Gzeir Shavah that it's a kinyan. Number two is that she's usher to the rest of the world. And number three, she's miuchedes for her husband. Says Rav Guzman, that could very well be why the Yerushalmi says that you need all three things. The kinyan is expressed in kesef. That's kicha kicha. The bia is the relationship between husband and wife. And the shtar, he has rayos to this idea that the shtar represents, particularly is emphasizing the fact that she's asura to the rest of the world. In fact, it could very well be that that's the way Tosas on the Beis on the Beis in Kedushin describes Harei Mekudeshesli. Tosas' lashon is Harei Mekudeshesli Klomar. Why do we use the expression of Harei Mekudeshesli? So Tosas says, because Mekudeshes is that she's Mekudesh like Hegdish is Asur La'olam Umuter La'shamayim. So she's Asura La'olam. Bishvili, because of Misa, Tosas. Upashta the Nilsa, and the simple understanding, says Tosas, of the words Harei Mekudeshesli, is Mizumenesli Miyuchedesli. That she's Mizumenesli Miyuchedet, that she's designated for me. So what we see in the Tosvos is that Tosvos understands that the words Hareat Mekudeshesli, the choice expression, even though if a man says Hareat Ishti, they're also comment. But Tosis on the lines of the Gemara that says that the Lishna Derabanan to describe marriage is Kedushin, very interesting, sort of set the stage. Kedushin. Kedusha. Somehow, the Kedushin could teach us Yisodos about Kedusha. So that Mivchar de Lishna, the Gemara describes that the Lishna de Oraisa of this week's parasha is Kicha, so that Kicha is a Kinyan. That's how the first Mishnah starts off in Kedusha, Isha Niknis B'Shalosh Drachim, Kinyan. Yet there's a Lishna de Rabbanon, the rabbis chose to change it. They chose not to call it a Kinyan, but rather what did they chose to call it? They chose to call it Kedushin. But somehow the Rabbanan wanted to make sure that people wouldn't only look at it as a Kinyan. Hence, says Tosos, Harea Mikudeshesli, our Girsa, the choice Girsa is Harea Mikudeshesli, and it has a dual meaning. The dual meaning is Mikudeshes, number one, that she's Mikudeshes La'olam, says Tosos, just like Hegdish, Mamish, just like Hegdish, that she becomes usher to the rest of the world. That's interesting. Parallel to Hegdish, Tosos is bringing out. And number two, Tosa says that she's Mizumenes to her husband. So that, the Tosa says, is these two, the two Lashonos that we said might be reflected in the different type of Kinyanim, might be reflected in Kiyikach Ish, in the Maisa Kinyan, and Uvala, that she's Miyuchatim. So Tosa says that those are the two Lashonos. Rav Braunschweigel had a different Havan in his Tosos, and this brings us to a Yisod Gadol, in a basic hakir in how Kedushin works. Again, Tosa says, either Mikudeshesli means Mikudeshes and Asura to the rest of the world, or Mikudeshesli means Miyuchedesli Mizumenesli. So there is a very, very important machlokis that one should know in regards to how to understand Kedushin. What exactly is taking place by Kinyan Kedushin? The machlokas is manifest in a very, very obscure case. And that is a case of a shifcha charufa. The Avnei Meluyim in Simim Mem Dalet, Siv Dalet, describes a woman who is a chatzi shifcha, chatzi basforim. If she accepts kedushin from somebody else, so then in such a case, the kedushin is chal on the side of her that's a basforim. Anybody who would have relations with that woman would actually be over an Iser Lav, and it would not be an Iser Kares, nor Iser Mises Bez. And those are the halachos. It's not our topic for Tonight, those are the halachas. We need to know those halachas to set up this fascinating machlokas. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch and asks the following question. What would happen if somebody else would be Mekadesh this woman that already a first person was Mekadesh to the Tzad HaAschonim? What would the halacha be? Would the Kedushin be Tofes? Would it take effect? We know, of course, that if Ruvay marries Shima, Ruvay marries Leah, so in such a case, the Kedushin takes effect. Shimon comes along and marries Leah, gives her Kedushin, and Kedushin would not. Says the Pnei Yoshua. In the Shulchan Aruch, it's a little bit unclear. So says the Pnei Yoshua, I think that's a Davar Pashut. And in such a case, the Avni Meluim, Mem Dal Dal, quotes this Pnei Yoshua, and he'll disagree in a moment. He says, I think it's a Davar Pashut, Kedushin would not be Chal. Why? He says, because Kedushin, she goes into the rishus of the man. Now it's true that the chatzi shifcha doesn't allow her to have her entire status be changed. But she, whatever he, the first one, Reuven, was mekadesh of her, all of that is in the first husband's rishus, is in Reuven's rishus. When Shimon comes along and he's mekadesh her, so then she was already in Reuven's rishus. The Avni Meluim says, I disagree. The Avni Meluim says, no. If you look in the Gemara in Kedushin and Daf Mem Zayin, you'll see that the reason why Kedushin is not tofes by Inesius Ish is because when you have Chai Krisus and above, Kedushin is not tofes by Chai Krisus and above. What's this idea that Pnei Yoshua made up that she comes into the husband's Rishus? So Reb Ravshvigel pointed out that this machlokas between the Pnei Yoshua and the Avni Meluim is a very fundamental machlokas in terms of what is Kinyin Kedushin doing. Is Kinyin Kedushin, what Kinyin Kedushin does, is that it's really like a Kinyin Yisur, like the Gemara describes in regards to an Eved Imri. The Kinyin in no way means, this is would be if the, in quotes, the more feministic version of understanding Kinyin Kedushin, again in quotes, I don't mean this in a serious sense. Does a Kinyin Kedushin, is it a the Kinyin Kedushin that the woman comes, it's not that she's coming into the husband's rishos. It's only a question of a change of her status. Her status is being changed. So hence when it comes to a shifcha charufa, where the status is not changed more than nisr lav because of those details that we're not discussing. So then in such a case, then Kedusha could actually be tofes from the second person. However, the Pnei Yoshua says not that way. Pnei Yoshua understands Kinyin Kedushin with an emphasis more on the Kinyin part. And that is that she actually enters the husband's rishus vis-a-vis erisin. Of course, Nesuin is a different type of entering into rishus. In erisin, she already is in the rishus of the husband, and hence kedushin cannot be tofes with another person, even though the only source that we have in the Gemara of kedushin not being tofes is by chayve krisus and above that. By chayve lavin, kedushin generally is tofes, but this is an exception to rules. So that's a fascinating. Fascinating question. Reb Ravshvigel argued that that's the two lashonos of Tosas. The first lashon of Tosas just equates Kedushin to Hegdish. If you equate Kedushin to Hegdish, so then that's not in any way a financial transaction that's taking place, but rather the Bailim have the Rishus to change the status of the Behemoth. The Pashtus, it's not a financial transaction. It's not a financial transaction that's taking place. That it's a change of the chalos shema of the behemah. It's a change of the identity of the behemah. However, he argues this as I was learning with the Talmud in this year, we weren't convinced entirely that it was mukhruf. But he said on the other half, he said in the second day of Tosas, miyuchedesli mizumenesli, he understood that it was a kinyan that you could possibly be in fact baked on. But he understood that was closer to the kinyan, closer to the opinion of Pnei Yeshua. So two ways of understanding the Lashonos. Either as Rav Gusman described, that Tosas is emphasizing that the Lashonos differentiate between two different parts. According to Rav Gusman, the two days of Tosas are not arguing. They're really reflecting two different parts of the Lashonos are emikudeshesli. And according to Rav Gusman, Chazal b'chachmasam didn't want just simply to have a Lashon of Kinyan. They wanted within the Lashon of Kedusha, again, none of this at first glance tells us a lot about Kedusha, but they wanted to make sure that in the that through the Lashon of Kedusha, that these two components, that number one, she's Asur L'Olam, number two, that she's Miuchedes to the husband, is expressed. Or you say it's another Lamdus in Kedusha, and the other Lamdus is that the two Deos Atosos are really struggling about what is the Chalos of Kedusha. Is the Chalos a Chalos of the Shem HaYisha, or is it vis-a-vis the Kini? Let's put this on the back burner for a moment. This, if you will, the first third of what we're going to discuss. And now, let's take a look at how Chazal actually darshan the pasuk, the seifa of this pasuk, of Uvo'ala. The Gemara in Daf Tes on the Beis in Kedushin says, Bia Minayin. How do we know? The Mishnah tells us that Bia works for Kedushin. Minola. What's in the car? So Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, to Amar Kra Bulas Ba. Gemara says, because it says Bu'ulas Ba'al, we have to spell out what's the source of this pasuk. But as of now, the source is Bu'ulas Ba'al. In other words, it's not clear what pasuk the Gemara is referring to. Actually, Bu'ulas Ba'al could be two different pasukim. Then the Gemara says, what about our pasuk? Ki gachish yisho v'ala. What about this week's parasha? Why did Rabbi Yochanan give the makar Bu'ulas Ba'al? Answers the Gemara, Ime hasam, if from Parshas Kiseitze, Havamina ad mikadesh v'hader bod. I would have a Havamina, the Bavli is being sholel, part of is precluding some of the lumbus that we had above, and says, you would have had a Havamina that the only way the Kedushin works is if he did both the Kicha and they have Bia. Kamash Malan, no. We go to Bulas Baal to tell us that you don't have this whole sequence. So it happens to be that Agos Maimini Constantina that we saw about the Pshat and the Rambam, the Gemara is a Havamina in the Gemara on that Tess on the base. That's the Gemara's Havamina, but the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara rejects it. So, very interesting. So whether we could use Bia from this week's parasha, and whether you understand the Pasuk as a Hemshech or a Matir, the Chura is Talui on these Manda Amrim. Now, the contrast, the Ezer Hashem, of understand the significance of Kedushin of these, of Kedushin, it will be nice to contrast it to how Eishes Ish works by a Goy. And here, on this Gemara, there's a fascinating Marsha. Marsha claims that he had old Girsos. This is not a famous Marsha, it should be famous. The Marsha says he had old Girsos, and in the old texts over there, the pasuk that was quoted was clearly the pasuk from Parshas Vayera, where Avimelech says to Avram, how could you lie about Sarah in his righteous indignation? How could you lie about Sarah? Vihi bu'ulas ba'al. Says the Marsha, that word, vihi bu'ulas ba'al, is a dead giveaway, and the dead giveaway is that we were referring to Parshas Vayera. However, points out the Marsha, Rashi on the Gemara, and our Gemara only says Bu'ulas Baal. It doesn't say Vehi Bu'ulas Baal. Rashi over there quotes the pasuk in this week's Parsha, not Ki Gachish Isho Vala, that was already rejected, but rather he quotes the pasuk Ki Matzei Ish Shochevim Isho Bu'ulas Baal. That's the Parsha of actually Znus. But somehow it becomes Makar. Says the Marsha, why did Rashi change it? So here the Marsha alleges a conspiracy. He says Rashi, maybe with the help of others, changed some of the older Gersos, and he didn't want to go to the pasuk of Yehi Bu'ulas Ba'al. Why? This is a Marsha, the Shikaso, on a few places in Shas. The Marsha says, because Rashi wanted to make sure that our Makar would not be something Kodam Matan Torah. We didn't want a source that is referring to Kedushin called the Matan Torah. Why? At the end of the day, even if the source is called the Matan Torah, if it was Chazra V'Nishnas B'Sinai, so So then in such a case, then it was given once again to Klal Yisrael, you can't go backwards. Gid Anosha. Why is it that when it comes to, specifically, when it comes to the Kiddushin, say here, the Maharsha wants to make sure that the Makar in the Torah, it's not like Gid Anosha was Chazar of Edition Spesina. We want, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Adach and Tessamabes describes, we want a Makar that is specifically one that's after Matan Torah. Yosem is that. When it comes to the Kiddushin of an Akum, so here we see that there's an opinion in Yerushalmi that's clearly, clearly different than anything that we see by Kiddushin of Yisrael. The Shita of Rabbi Yonah, there are 2 days in the Yerushalmi, how does a Gentile person become married? Both opinions hold that Kesef, Shtar, those things don't apply. Yerushalmi says only Bia, only if they live together. And Rabbi Yonah goes further over there. Two man da'amr in Yerushalmi in Halacha Aleph. One man da'amr holds that Rabbi Lazar says that if they live together with the intention to live as husband and wife, and Rabbi Yonah goes further. Rabbi Yonah says that even if the intent was Bias Nus, by definition, they're considered married. That means if a Gentile man has nus with a Gentile woman, even if the intention, it would be very, very scary if we would pass an halach like this opinion of Rabbi Yonah with what takes place today. But we don't pass him, as far as, from what I understand, we don't pass like the sheet of Rabbi Yonah, but it would go so far as to say that such a case. So, what we see is that the ishus of a guy, it has a quality to it that's fundamentally different than the quality of the Ishus of Yisrael. Ad kidekach that even Bias Nus would work. Hence, we begin to see why, in regard to the question that we had asked, why it is that Chazal wanted to make sure that we learn from a pasuk that's after Matan Torah and not the Rashi changed the girsa, because he wanted to make sure that even though we're talking about the same thing, Bu'ulaz Baal, or, but it's also, here it's even a Maisa's Nus, Ishu Bu'ulaz Baal, nevertheless, it has to be a Maisa that's after Matan Torah. If it would be a Maisa before Matan Torah, so then in such a case it's not even Shayef to Kedushin of Yisrael Bizman Hazar. So let me ask you, according to Rabbi Elazar, and here we get halacha l'maisa. Here there's a fascinating machlokas halacha l'maisa that has profound ripple effects in terms of both how we look at Kenyan Kedushin, and I think as we begin to build for a few more minutes, even in terms of our own avoda towards Kedusha. Says, so now we have Rabbi Elazar. We don't follow Rabbi Yonah. What would the halacha be in the following case? And this was halacha l'maisa for many, many, many people, unfortunately. What happens if you have a Jewish man and Jewish woman that there's no kedushin, there's no kesef l'shem ishus, there's no bi'ul l'shem, hareach mikudeshesli, kedas moshe v'yisrael, and there is no shtar. But they live as an akum. I have the following chakira. If you learn like Rabbi Yonah, so clearly, according to Rabbi Yonah, clearly the ishus of an akum is fundamentally different than the ishus of Yisrael. But what happens if you hold like Rabbi Lezer? So there, what happens if they intend to live as husband and wife, but their intention is not kedas moshe v'yisrael? In other terms, how do we look at Kedushin of Yisrael? Do we look at Kedushin of Yisrael as it's the relationship between husband and wife, but it's plus, it's Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael? The baseline is the same baseline as Nisue Akum, but there is an added mitzvah? Or is the pshat that actually a Jew does not have the issues that a goy has. It's not that a Jew has the added mitzvah, but he can't even create eishes ish without the Hebrew lasbal will not create eishes ish by Yisrael. What you need is the hagdar of kikach ish isha that in this week's parasha. So this is a machlokas halacha lemaisa between Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin in the Kislei Rav Henkin describes that there were many people who had come from the Soviet Union, who unfortunately, in many ways, no fault of their own, had been married civilly. There was no almost remnant of Torah and mitzvahs at all. And they were living as husband and wife. Now the woman comes over to the States or to Israel. She's a married woman to this man, and her husband is gone. Does she need a get? Many of the women couldn't get in touch with their husbands to get a get. So Rav Henkin says, absolutely. She needs a get. Because at the end of the day, there was a full-fledged ishus. Rav Moshe, in Evan Ezer Chelik Aleph, leave it simin either Ayin Dalet or Ayin Zayin, Rav Moshe writes, no. This was one of the celebrated machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Henkin. They were neighbors, they were very close. Rav Moshe said no. Rav Moshe said, if the Kedushin is not Kedus Moshe of Yisrael, then even though by a Gentile it would create issues, but for a Jew, it doesn't create issues. So Rav Moshe understands that the mitzvah of Ki Yikach Esh Isha, of Kedus Moshe of Yisrael, is such that it redefines issues to the point that if a Jew does not manifest the issues through the Torah's prescription, then you don't have the baseline definition of issues by a guy. They're two totally different tracks. Rav Henkin seems to understand that the mitzvah of kedusha is a mitzvah of kedusha shach Yisrael, but issues could also be defined as long as it's not be'ilaznus. Ishus could also be defined as husband and wife living together with each other civilly. Rabbi Moshe Willick told me today that Rav Henkin had aged. Rav Henkin aged very slowly. He had a very slow decline. And as he got weaker and weaker, there were times that he wasn't lucid. So he used to repeat certain psukim that he felt very, very passionately about. Two psukim that he would repeat is he would say, you can't eat before tkiya shofar. He would say it over and over. And he would say, he would always say, no, she needs a get, she needs a get, she needs a get. Because this was something that had affected so many people. It was something that he had, incidentally, Rabbi Braunschweigel said that when he visited Rav Soloveitchik, when he also already his Alzheimer's had gotten bad, so he said, the Rav used to was sitting in his room alone. Rav was in Boston. He was being taken care of by his children, and he was saying over Rambams. He was saying over Torah to himself. He didn't really notice at that time. He already wasn't noticing people around. That's what he said he was doing when he visited him. And then he said he started giving himself Musa. He started saying to himself, Beryl, you're not learning enough. Getting involved with too many things that are distracting you. Musar, he wasn't learning up to his capabilities. Here is a man who wasn't very much known for publicly giving Musar, but to himself, when his true pneumias came out, he was giving himself Musar. That's what he described. So Rav Henkin felt very, very passionately about, you need a get. Rav Moshe disagreed. Rav Moshe said, no. Rav Moshe said, it's two different tracks. Chura of Henkin makes a lot of sense. But maybe we can understand where Moshe's Pesach is coming from. The Rambam describes Koda Matan Torah Rambam in Ishus Aleph Aleph Hayadam Pogei Isha Bishuk. Before Matan Torah there was that. And after Matan Torah, so then there was the Kinyan Kedushin. So you know what happened?
What happened was that these two parshiyos of the Torah became two different tracks entirely. Rav Henkin will say it's an added mitzvah. But according to Rav Moshe, there's a dramatic change between Kodem Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. We have to ask ourselves, what exactly changed Kodem Matan Torah and after Matan Torah? Ad Kedei Kach, that they called it Kedushin. Ad Kedei Kach, that this is Kedusha. So Rabosai, I think there's a tremendous, tremendous lesson to Ezer Hashem over here. Kodem Matan Torah, Hayodam Pogea. Bimikre, he met somebody. Could be he was a spiritual person. Could be that she was a spiritual person. It could be that they did tremendous things together. But there's something lacking in the Kedusha because it was public. It was Mikre, you know, Samalek. It's been Mikre. The start and end to Kedusha is Mizumenes. In other words, people think of Kedusha and Dvar Nisgadim in Kabbalah, Yisoda Yisodos. Laniyaz Daiti, the Parsha of Kedushin, the Lishna the Rabban of Kedushin, the Chiluk between Kedushin of a Yisrael, Kedushas Yisrael, versus a guy, the Chiluk really revolves around something that you and I, something much more sublime that we would have thought Kedusha is. Dahainu. By an akum, marriage has that she's miyuchedes to him. By an akum, she's asura la'ola. So what's the one chiluk between Kedusha and Yisrael, ad kedei kach, that a Jewish person will not have Kedusha akum according to Rav Moshe? What's the chiluk? The chiluk is one thing. A very obscure and hard to understand Maisa Kinyan. And the Maisa Kinyan is what gives the status of Kedushin versus the halachic Eishes Ish of a Goy. So what's the significance of this Kinyan? The Lishna Derabbanan just says that she's a Surlom. That also applies to a Goy. What's the significance of this Kinyan? The answer is that the Kedusha is something much more sublime than many people give credit to. Kedusha really, really starts with Hazmana. That's where Kedusha really starts. Vamevin Yavin Sugiv Megillah Hazmana Milsa Hazmana Lav Milsa. Kedusha starts with a person being Mazman himself. And if you think about it, that's exactly what Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair is teaching us. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair starts with Zihirus. One of his last madregas, as described, of course, in beautifully in Mesillas Yesharim, is Kedusha. The Gemara in Yuma says, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, be mekadesh yourself a little, and I'll be mekadesh you a lot. I'll be Maisa Kedusha. Says in the Mesillas Yesharim, Madregas of Kedusha are something that is almost corporeally impossible. But Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll give you Kedusha if you're just masking yourself. Says the Mesillas Yesharim in Zehirus. Says the Mesillas Yesharim, the biggest problem towards climbing the ladder of Pinchas Ben Yair is that people don't set aside time to poshut think, lishkol b'moznayim, poshut to weigh things out and be magdish themselves, designate themselves towards avodas Hashem. The Gemara Yuma says, you just start. In other words, what I'm arguing right now is the Sefer Mesillas Yesharim starts and ends with the same bechina. It's the same thing. What is Kedusha? What is Kedusha al-Pi Dinei Torah? It's not the Dvar Maniskavim that most people talk about. Kedusha al-Pi Dinei Torah, the chiluk between Kedusha of Yisrael and the Kedusha of someone else, is the fact that the goy was paga isha b'shuk, and they weren't mazmin themselves. Because they weren't mazmin, because they didn't prepare, they might have had tremendous, tremendous potential, but it was all b'mikra. And that means that when a person starts an endeavor, and he really is not mazmin himself, and sometimes the hazmana requires just a small amount of effort, doesn't require a tremendous amount of effort, so then they can't reach that madrega of kedusha. Mesillas Yesharim says if you're starting something, we're talking about, it's clear from the Ramchal's writing, if you read the Sefer HaVikuach, that the Ramchal is describing, we're describing someone who's a real Talmud Chacham, a real Ben Torah. He says that, but the person doesn't even start because he didn't prepare himself. So what's our avoda? Our avoda is that every single part of avodas Hashem that requires kedusha to reach dvar maniskavim, it's not the teva ha'adam. But Kodesh Baruch Hu says, be magdish yourself a little. And what it means to be magdish yourself a little starts with a person saying, okay, what am I doing now? That pshach, hasidim arishonim, prepared before tefillah. And in this way, I do understand why the chassidim sometimes even miss zman, kriya shema, zman tefillah. I don't justify it. I try not to be knowing that way myself. But at the end of the day, if a person doesn't prepare beforehand, so then where did he show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want your siyata d'shmaya? And this applies to us in very, 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 very practical terms. Very practical terms. A zman is starting now, Be'ezer Hashem. What are the goals of the zman? What exactly does a person want to get? It's amazing. You see many, many sincere Talmidim and Avreichim, and they go in to an experience, a new zman, a chavrusa, a new shir. They decide they're going to do chesed, but they've never really, really thought out what exactly are... I'm not talking about goals and how many datum you want to accomplish. But what exactly... How do I want this man to bring me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I know I'm saying Dvarim Pshutim, but those Dvarim Pshutim are the things that need the most chizuk. What exactly do I want to get out of it? What exactly are my goals in Ruchnias? And here, I promise you, if every Talmud Chacham that you know that's been zocha to be Ba'alei Shem for 10 years or longer, I could be maftiach you that every single one of them will say that they did what the Gemara in Kedushin said. They were magnish themselves a little, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them to places that they never thought that they would be able to be zocha to be at. Not in Gaiva, they won't say it to you in Gaiva. Just be mitzvahs. But it requires a kedusha ma'at, a person to say, what are really, really my priorities in life? In a small way, in a simple way. But with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekadosh. And that's the difference. It all depends on whether it's paga. I fell here. I happen to have fallen here. You know, this program worked out, this program worked out. Now I'm here. Or no. A person says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have this she'ifa, and I'm here for these and these purposes. Give me siyata d'shmaya. In even more practical terms, I hold that one of the greatest yeshivas in the world, one of the greatest smicha programs in the world, is in Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. But there's an Achilles heel. And the Achilles heel is that the program, because it's built in a manner where there is a certain curriculum, that sometimes forces, or people force upon themselves, the way they look at it, they look at things in terms of the results. And I'm not talking about results getting a good mark on the Bechina, but often they think about finishing, getting this done, getting this done, getting this done, or their requirements. They have to do this, they have to do that. I tell the Avrechim every year in the beginning of the Zman, and I repeat this to you very, very strongly. I think there's a responsibility of every single person that's learning in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan to make sure that they've also set aside a time. It could be 5 minutes a day. Remember, Kedusha starts small. It starts with the Zehirah just being Shokol B'Maznayim. 5 minutes a day of learning Torah Lishma. That means it's not for this requirement, it's not for that requirement, it's not for that requirement. It's not because you're hoping that if you're going to do this, that maybe Rabbi Reese is going to recognize it. No, there's one thing. Maybe that's the reason not to get the Mishnah Berurah for credit. But that's one thing that's entirely Lishma. One thing that's entirely Lishma. No other cheshbon. And the moment a person does that, so then there's the potential. Then there's a potential that you're opening up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everything becomes Torah Lishma. But if everything is being done with that cheshbon, just the history behind this, I think there's a very, very important background to understand as far as our yeshiva is concerned. And I think it's very, very important for us to look at others, even if we don't disagree, even if we disagree in some things, there's a tremendous amount of lesson that one can learn. I think that one of the primary differences between Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, I was in YU, and my brother's been in Lakewood for many years, and I try to read a lot about our yeshivas. My brother and I disagree on quite a few things. One of the themes that I think the biggest nafkamina between our yeshivas is certainly not what type of yarmulke, and it's not even how many dates you go on before you get engaged. I was stunned how many dates my brother felt he needed to go on before, you know, 3 dates and that's enough to get engaged. Those aren't the nafkaminas. The biggest nafkamina revolves around the following story. Rav Aaron Cutler, it's a simple story, it's an anecdote. It's not an important historical story, but I think the story really embodies what Rav Aaron thought, and I think we could learn a lot from it. And Meidah Pisa, there are things that I think in Lakewood, they could also learn from us. Rav Aaron was going to work at the beginning of the founding of Lakewood. Rav Aaron went with the director of the yeshiva to get some legal funding for students for his yeshiva. And Rav Aaron did not speak a lot of English, so the director spoke to a politician who was involved, or a government official that was involved in this endeavor. So he spoke to him in English, and he said to him, you know, we have a rabbinical college. They were trying to get, I guess, accreditation as a rabbinical college. We have a rabbinical college where we teach our students Jewish law so that they become rabbis and teachers and so on, and it's just as rigorous as the parallels in the secular universities. So Rav Aaron grabbed the hand of the director, and Rav Aaron was a very emotional person, and he said to him, Vozhok shtev. What are you saying? So tell him, Rebbe Avlagem. He's translating to Yiddish. I'm telling him that we teach the students to become rabbis. So Rav Aaron said, Me, Zogem as we learn Torah Lishma. Tell him we learn Torah Lishma. So the director tried to sort of make it a little bit amenable. So he said, you know, the rabbi wants me to emphasize that to be a good, to be sincere in the pulpit, you also have to go into it with the sincerity and really, really want to study Torah. So he said, Rav Aaron grabbed him again. He said, "Vazak," so he asked him, so he said, "Nay, zogim as meler nor teir lishma." Tell him the only purpose for Lakewood is teir lishma. And that's it. Rav Aaron did not let him go until he described the rabbinical college as only Torah Lishma. Now that, I think, by the way, is the fundamental difference between our yeshivas. Everything else is a product of that. And that is, you look at the yeshiva's role as entirely Torah Lishma, that to raise Bachurim and Avreichim that are learning Torah Lishma, or do you say, yes, learning Torah Lishma, but we have Klal Yisrael
that we want to go out and teach, and so on and so forth. I think in many ways, that's the core difference. You could attach this to other parts, both here in Israeli society as well. I think there are, and it's Elu Velu, I believe it's Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chaim. There are two emissa motifs, and how you balance them, of course, is a very, very important avodah. But that means that, you know, when you have a curriculum, when there's a certain amount that we want to learn, so that we want to go out to the tzibur, to be able to teach them, and it's very, very important. You have people learning yeshivas for 20, 30 years, and they might know a lot of Nashim Nezikin, they don't know basic hilchos brachos. Meidach gisa, if you go through a curriculum, and you're just learning to finish, to know what to say. Who is the Torah of the Shema? Where is it? Where's the Torah of the Shema? That means that we have an added mechayev to be magdish ourselves towards the Torah of the Shema. And the hazmana is the most important thing. Once we're mazman ourselves to the Torah of the Shema, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, as the Mar Yuma describes, make sure to be mekadesh everything in our avoda as well. One more practical application. Beidra Hashem, I think, is very, very important. Be'nad l'chadera. A lot of times we're very, very sincere when we approach somebody about an issue. A husband comes over to his wife and he wants to talk to her about something. But Rabosai, Kedusha, being Magdish, means to really spend time. It doesn't have to be a long period of time, just thinking about what we're doing. Being mazmin ourselves, thinking about what we're doing before we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and thinking about what we're doing b'nado l'chaver. That's what Mesillas Yesharim starts out with, and that's the whole chalos of Kedusha. Often, a husband will bring up a topic with his wife, and it was pashut the wrong time. It was not the appropriate time to have that conversation. Did he think through that it's Friday, and his wife has five or six things that are on his mind? Did you think about the fact that your chavrusa, that your roommate, has two finals tomorrow? If a person really, really begins to set that sense of really being mazdin himself as an Ovid Hashem, sometimes it's only 2-3 minutes, then there's a mapecha, then he turns over everything that he does. If chas v'chalila, his relationship with others is pagat yishev v'shuv. It's always been mikre. Now's a good time to over miyad. Doesn't spend that time with the shikul adas. So then, in such a case, then he often misses that madrega of kedusha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmayim that if we begin to start that mida of zehirus in a way. That's really moshko b'maznayim. Simply, we begin to weigh. And just like there are mamish two different shacks, a guy could have tremendous, tremendous potential in his ishus. But because the ishus is one of paga, so then in such a case, the ishus cannot reach the madrega of ish to isha shalom b'nehem. But if we begin to designate ourselves, so then in such a case, then we can reach very, very high madrigas. And I'll add, al pi Kabbalah, it's the chiyuv of the man. Why? The Sefer HaYetzirah describes, and this is the bechina of Elul, the Sefer HaYetzirah describes that the Yud always often refers, the letter of Yud corresponds to Elul, which refers to the future. Yochav, Willie. Yud of the Ish is always anticipating towards the future. And the truth is, the Ish has potential. The Isha is the Yoledas. Sefer HaYetzirah describes that's why a woman has the hay in Isha. And he says, in the Sefer HaYetzirah, they describe as the hay as being parallel, corresponding to Nisan. Why? Because Nisan is the Zman of Leda. The Avoda of Elul, the Avoda Dafka of the man in the Bayis, is that he has that role that he has to think about, he has to have the thing of the Asid. The wife is the Koach HaLeda. The wife is the one who brings it to Poem, but the man has that responsibility. It could very well be that it's
in the teva, the isha zach is the one who produces the results, but the man has the responsibility of that asid, and that's the bechina of Elul. The bechina of Elul is right now during this time for us to work on ourselves to the point that we're thinking about that asid, and if we're not mekadesh ourselves a little, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pistoli pesach shemachat v'niyetzach upal pesach sheulam, that with this man, just to be poteach that little machat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us a siyata d'shmaya, that it should stay la'olam void, and it should be an emes in kedusha.